We were seeing damage in existing landscapes, which is what I'm seeing more. We actually had a road study that was going on that was unirrigated during that time period, and so we had some pretty direct effects there. But I fielded quite a few phone calls from people in the area, especially in the fall and especially earlier this spring when things didn't start coming back out again. We started seeing some of that other damage.
Is it something that you're getting questions from your students? Are you discussing it in class?
Yes, absolutely. This is because in both the plant tax class, plant taxonomy, and a couple other classes, I deal with a lot of wildlife students who are more ecology-based, and so okay. They're seeing a lot of that. So the in-field observations are very important for them. So,
what's the concern when you talk to them when you get those phone calls?
A couple of things. Number one is what's happening, and what do they do? What should people be doing? Why should they be worried about this? How does it affect them? One of the things that came up that we saw quite a bit here was actually trees that got stressed, and we had a secondary infection that set in. Actually, there's a disease out there called hypoxylon canker that is actually causing the death, and especially a lot of the oaks and some of the hickories around here as well.
Is it because they were impacted the previous year by the drought?
Yes, it's a disease. It's a disease that's pretty much always there, but when the trees get drought stressed, then it really comes on and kind of accelerates that.
Have you had an opportunity to kind of tour some of these areas to witness it firsthand, and what's been your observation?
I've seen some of the main area that I was. We go to Cooper Lake, South Sulphur Park, pretty recently, or pretty regularly, rather, and seen quite a bit of damage out there. I was actually surprised more by the survival rate than the damage rate. But it's very substantial. You can see a lot of what we call bark sloughing, where that bark just kind of peels off a little bit and starts to pull back from the tree. It's a major indication of a tree that's either gone or on its way out. But again, it's pretty substantial there. There's going to be some pretty new openings in some places there.
And these are areas that we're not hearing about as much in the news just because they weren't devastated as much, but certainly they were devastated. You hear a lot about Bastrop, Possum Kingdom Lake, a lot of the West Texas area. Did you have a chance to view any of that damage?
Haven't seen any of it myself other than some of the forest fires in Possum Kingdom Lake, just what I saw on TV. Haven't toured any of those areas directly, no.
All right. So let's talk about some impacts, and I guess we just want to start from in terms of the condition on the ground and what it's done to the soil and what state that puts us in now.
Really what we're seeing here is these are cyclical in nature. It's not uncommon for this to happen. And tree death is a common part of an ecosystem. This just happens to be more than normal. And what's going to happen is some of those trees are going to remain standing, and they're going to break down more slowly. Some of them are going to fall. One of the nice things that happens here, and there are some good benefits, some of these areas are going to open up. It's going to allow a little bit more forb and grassy growth underneath, which is going to provide a little bit more forage for some species. It also is going to provide those dead trees, both still standing and on the ground, will provide new habitat, new habitat sites for animals in the ground. So the long-term effect is it's going to look different, but the long-term effect on the ecosystem and on the communities is negligible.
Okay, so there are some positives that come from it. Are there instances where this drought has put a landscape into such a devastating situation that it can't replenish itself?
Not that I've seen.
Okay.
And that's the worst areas in the state. They're the worst affected areas. We're down in the Brazos Valley, College Station area. And they're still under 10%. They still have 90+% of their trees out there. There may be some local instances where that community has changed, but we're talking about natural ecosystems. There's a natural ebb and flow, natural change to things. So we may not see it in the course of a human lifetime. But these are natural changes.
What about some of the financial impacts then?
Surprisingly, the the financial impacts seem to be negligible based on the reports that I've seen. Most of the areas that were hit hard were not heavily logged areas, and so a lot of the hardwood stands, a lot of the pine areas, the effects seem to be fairly minor. And as far as wildlife use and wild land use, again, we've just changed the appearance. I've actually worked on a site where a guy was modifying his land. He was going to incorporate a lot of new oaks, trying to get rid of a lot of the ash trees and such to help make that better for waterfowl. And situation like this might make it easier actually for him to kind of open those areas up and benefit the waterfowl in there, and so therefore make his project move a little faster.
Dr. Darrell Harp is my guest. He's an associate professor in the Department of Agricultural Sciences at Texas A&M University Commerce, speaking about the report this week from the Texas A&M Forest Service about the 300 million trees killed as part of last year's devastating drought in Texas. That is down from the preliminary estimate of 500 million last December. Now, we know that some of this is unavoidable, but some of it we may have prevented. What has it taught us?
I think one of the big things it's taught us is proper use and judicious use of available water supplies. Everybody saw Lake Levan get down so far. Same things happened in several other locations that affected groundwater supplies. So we have to be careful about our overall water use, whether it's irrigation, whether it is just typical urban use of water, the use of those we realize that those water supplies are very subject to short-term meteorological events, and so managing those is very important.
And that helps not only to quell devastation from an ongoing drought, but also maybe help us in the event of a wildfire.
Absolutely. Because, for example, if you're at Possum Kingdom out there in the huge wildfires they had, water availability, how are you going to get water out there to fight in those areas, especially as your lake levels go down, makes it harder to access some of those pools, and makes it less available. And so those are some major thoughts and things to be thinking about.
When you see some of the other wildfire situations and the devastation there, we're talking about Colorado recently. Washington State is undergoing some wildfires they're battling with. What can we learn from each other?
Some of that and some of the issues that Colorado has used is, if you're going to build a house out in there where an area is fairly densely wooded, controlling the underbrush is very important, making sure that you don't have that available supply of tinder, something that's going to cause a fire to burn much more rapidly, something that's going to provide more available fuel for the fire. And so managing, keeping what some people might refer to as a cleaner lot. Basically, again, you're just removing a lot of that understory brush that often fuels those fires and makes it much harder to put them out.
Again, you say you've taken lots of calls from people. You've had a lot of discussions about this topic. What's going to be one of the biggest takeaways you want these individuals to understand when it comes to drought, when it comes to wildfires, when it comes to preventing?
Probably one of the biggest things is kind of pay attention to your trees. Pay attention to what's going on. Learn the symptoms of severe drought stress. Probably one thing that I would caution people about, and especially if you're doing any major improvement on a piece of property, especially where you're doing any trenching, maybe you're putting in an irrigation line, maybe you're putting a water line to a house, something like that. One of the big important things to realize is how extensive a tree's root system really is. And this is why 90% of our trees survived even that severe drought last year. Most people think that the tree's roots go exclusively to what we call the drip line. That's the edge of the branches and straight down.
Mm-hmm.
Truth is, the extent of the root system actually goes out probably another, say if it's 50 feet, it's going to go out another 75 feet beyond that, all the way around that tree. And they generally are not taproot deep. These are plant roots that are generally in the top 2 feet. But if you're going through there and you're trenching, then you're cutting off half of that tree's roots.
I see.
And so understanding where those tree roots are and understanding that that's where that available water for those plants is and how big an area they're actually pulling from to be able to survive. And again, we were in extreme drought conditions last year. We were some of the weather station data out of Cooper Lake. We were losing as much as 3 inches a week sometimes to evaporation, and that's a lot of water. That's a lot of water being pulled from the soil, and it's very careful. You got to have to be very careful when you're managing soils around those trees. Whether it's trenching, whether it's just compacting that soil, it's going to make it harder. Say you're running over a particular area, that's going to prevent water from moving into that soil, being available for those plant roots. And again, it's just overall, it's a management. And again, just start looking, recognizing symptoms, and you'll be able to see when certain trees are in trouble. There's nothing that makes a bigger difference in an area than the trees that are there. And so learning how to manage those and making sure that you're managing those populations in the way that's going to maintain that little ecosystem for the longest period of time is going to be beneficial for you, the trees, and everything else around it.
Darrell Harp, thank you so much for sharing your expertise with us today.
Thank you very much.